We got it going. All right. We're going to take our Sunday school lesson this morning in the book of Acts. And we'll be in Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. And I wrote down a few notes about this because I didn't realize there was that much in this thing. Mm-hmm. But Acts chapter 8 is where we'll take our Sunday school lesson. And that's beautiful. Sunday morning, the Lord give us to gather in His house. We don't have a lot of people here, but we have enough. Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered together in His name, He said, lo, I'm in the midst. And it's good to have Misty. And she's brought three children with her, and it's good to have them. And it's a beautiful sight to me indeed. Acts chapter number 8. And this chapter precedes where one of the deacons, which name was Stephen, was martyred. And the reason he was martyred was because he told the truth, and they didn't want the truth, and they stoned him. And most people don't want the truth.
Right.
Truth is important. Jesus said, continue in my word and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, people won't get mad at you if you tell them a half-truth. But there's a good chance they'll get mad at you if you tell them a whole truth. If you said, Brother Eddie, I was expecting you to look more dignified than what you look. Well, that would probably be a truth, and it wouldn't make me mad. But some people would get offended. Now, Brother Ed told me one day, he said, Brother Eddie, I like your preaching. He said, you keep it simple enough that a little child could understand it. Now, to some people that would have offended them, that really blessed me, because I want to be where a little child can understand it.
Right.
I don't want to talk over your head. I want to keep it simple.
Right.
I'm not trying to impress anybody with great swelling words. I'm not trying to use any speech that can't be easily understood. But in this previous chapter here, and the reason I'm mentioning this is because we're going to be teaching today about a man named Philip. And Philip was one of seven deacons that was chosen. Let's just go to that real quick before we even read this. In Acts chapter number 7, there's a great murmuring, a great griping, I guess you could say. And it says in Acts chapter 6, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. That's quite a statement. I would like to be in that category there and be able to say something that pleased the whole multitude.
Right.
And they chose Stephen. Now, he's the man that's stoned in Acts chapter 7. That's why I'm turning back to this. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, which is the man we're going to be teaching about today, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Now, nothing is mentioned about any but the first two. Stephen's mentioned in Acts chapter 7, and Philip is mentioned not just in Acts chapter 8, but in several other places he's mentioned. But our lesson today is about Philip. And he was the second choice of the seven men chosen to help in the ministry of the young church that they were building there in Acts here. And it says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. Saul is there when they stoned Stephen, the first one mentioned in the seven deacons. And Saul ends up becoming Paul. And we're not going to teach about Saul or Paul today. And at the time, there was a great persecution against the church. And even today, there is a great persecution against the church. Yeah. Now, God's message is a message of love. He loves us.
Yes, He does.
It's real love. Now, I can say I love you, and it'd just be words. There'd be nothing behind it. But He said, I love you, yeah. And it's real love, and He really meant it. His message of love is the purest love there is. He loved sinners. He loved them enough to die for them.
Yeah.
He loved them enough to give His life a ransom so they could go free. But the church was persecuted in this time that we're getting ready to talk about Philip here. And this persecution was raised against the church, which is at Jerusalem. Now, that's kind of bad because it's only in one spot. And just being in that one spot don't get a whole lot done. So Stephen is outside and he delivers a message, and it's a pretty rough message, but it's true. And the reaction is rebellion, and they end up stoning him and killing him. But it says here, and they were scattered abroad. And that's what needs to happen. We need to get out of these four walls and get the message out. I don't do a lot of talking about the Lord at work because of the day and hour we live in. And Misty knows I talk about it a little bit. She works with me. But I don't make a big deal about it.
Yeah.
Because of the environment we live in, people are trying to find something they can use against you.
Right.
And something that they can cause you to maybe lose your job or something like that. I that wouldn't be the reason that I wouldn't do it. Because I do a lot of talking at work to people about their soul, about the Lord. But I usually try to make sure that I have the leading of God to do it. But there was a great persecution during this time. And the church is scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made a great lamentation over him. What does lamentation mean? It means they cried.
Yeah.
They loved Him. See, God is love. And the Bible said, hereby we know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. And one of the attributes of God is love. And they loved Stephen. He's dead. And they can't do nothing about the fact that he's dead, but they are weeping over him. As for Saul, which mentioned there in verse 1, he made havoc of the church. What's havoc mean? He's mad. He's not loving the church. He's trying to cause problems. And he's doing it through ignorance. He don't know no better, like most people. They don't really understand the situation. They just make a big deal about it. And he's making a big deal about the church. He's making havoc. He's entering into every house. And he's hailing men and women, which means arresting them and beating them and committing them to prison. Now Saul, he hadn't become Paul yet. And when he becomes Paul, he does just the opposite. He starts trying to tell people about Jesus and about the love of God. But let's get on to Philip. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Here's where I really wanted to start, but I hate to leave all that other out.
Yeah.
Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. Now, people saw things that they'd never seen before.
Right.
You know what? You go to church, you'll see a lot of things that you don't ordinarily see. On Easter Sunday morning, we had a family of four. Next pew back behind you, Misty. They stepped out and they came up here and they knelt down. And not only did they get saved, they got baptized, joined the church and everything. You just don't see that everywhere. And I have to admit, that was a refreshing thing to me and encouraged me to see that God's still saving people.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that He's still, the Bible says, of a truth, Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And the man that said that was Saul, ended up being Paul. And Paul, that was Saul, said, "Of whom I'm chief." He was the chiefest sinner, and he got saved. Anyway, so verse 8 said, "And there was great joy in that city." Everybody's happy. Wouldn't that be something? If instead of protesting, burning the town down, turning cars over, and you know, I know we have a right to protest, but we need to protest right. It don't need to be a riot. It don't need to be unlawful. It needs to be a lawful protest. Hold my sign up. I'm mad. I'm not happy. I don't agree. That's okay. But when I come in and I start burning the town down, turning cars over, beating people, and you know, just out of control, right? That's not right. But anyway, let's go on here. There was great joy in that city. That means they're not having a riot. They're happy. And there was a certain man. Now, when the Bible says there was a certain man, you can always kind of throw up a red flag right there. Anytime it says there was a certain man, usually it's not good. So here's a certain man. He's called Simon. Most of the time it doesn't even give their name, but in this case it does. "Which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one." So this man Simon had kind of promoted the fact that he was someone to hear. Does anyone know what using sorcery means? Anyone? Oh, by the way, Ed.
Well, sorcery is like witchcraft.
Actually, it's drugs.
Yeah.
Me and Misty work in we're illegal drug dealers. We work in a pharmaceutical company where we package medicine. But the Greek word for sorcery is pharmaceutical. And he kind of, you know, you wouldn't think about having drugs going on back then. But he used drugs to convince people that he was something that he wasn't. And I have to admit, I never did ever really take drugs, but I used the liquid drug alcohol, and there was quite a few times in my life I actually thought I was something.
Yeah.
But anyway, this man used sorcery, and you check out what I said. You look up the Greek word for sorcery, and it'll be pharmaceutical. And he used pharmaceutical means to bewitch people. Now, nobody in their right mind takes drugs, so you kind of got to be induced or introduced or whatever. And all my friends kind of went overboard with that. Most of them aren't here today. But it went on even back in this day. I just want to bring that out. Verse 10, "To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God." Now, I want you to know that through sorcery, Simon deceived a lot of people. I mean, they're giving him praise. They're giving him acclamations. "This man is the great power of God." So, you know, even though that's not true, they didn't know no better, and they gave this man quite of a prestige or quite of a position. "And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip..." Now, Philip's real. He's not using sorceries. He's not only real, he's telling the truth. "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also." That's key right there. Now, he's believed. And when he was baptized, he contended with Philip. He's done two things right. He's believed and he's baptized. Now, there's a whole lot more to discipleship than believing and getting baptized. We'll get that here in a minute. "And he contended with Philip and wondered." Now, wondered. That means he ain't quite got it all figured out yet. That's one thing good about church. You know, I've been going to church for 30 years. Misty, there never has been one dumber than me. I didn't know enough Bible to blow my nose. And my parents would be up there preaching, and I'd be sitting there thinking, what the heck? And like I said, a lot of time I stand up and ask questions, and I just did not know better. And I've read the Bible completely through 17 times since then, and sat under the not only the teaching and the preaching of a great man of God for 30 years. Well, 25 anyway, because I pastored about 5 years, and I've been here about half this year. But other than that, I sat under this great man, and like a sponge, I soaked up all I could. Mm-hmm. And I was amazed at how little I knew and how much there was to know. Even Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. We know so little about Jesus. If I asked you who Jesus was, could you answer that?
The person who made us all.
You're right. You're absolutely right. He's the great creator. You're 100% right. He made all things, and without Him was not anything made. It was made. I notice you got a Bible there. You do a lot of reading in there?
Well, I try to look what page you're on.
All right. I'm in the book of Acts. You need to... help me find Acts chapter 8. Acts is right after John. And I'm in Acts chapter 8. And right now, we're in verse number 13. And Simon wonders. He's beholding the miracles. He's beholding the signs which were done. And he really doesn't understand, but he has believed, he has been baptized, and he is continuing. Now when the apostles, remember they're at Jerusalem, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. So the big wheels is coming. Now this is a huge revival. I mean, there's great joy in this city. There's no persecution. There's salvation. Verse 15 says, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was falling upon none of them. Verse 16. Only that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now here's what I say about Simon here. He has believed. He has been baptized. He's continuing with Philip. He's wondering about all these miracles and all these signs. And you know, the Bible says run the race with patience. It takes a long time to go from a babe in Christ to a soldier of the cross.
Yes.
Sometimes you're better off just to listen. Well, Simon's kind of like Eddie. Instead of sitting there listening or sitting there being silent watching, he comes forward and he doesn't know no better. And I don't really agree with Peter here in his course of action, but anyway, he says, give me also this power that whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Now, he don't know no better. He's just believed, just been baptized. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought the gift of God may be purchased with money. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart's not right in the sight of God. Now I don't know that Peter could necessarily say that with any degree of truth, and he may be true. I wasn't there. We're reading this. This is hindsight. But he says, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Now here's why I don't really agree with what Peter said right there, is because verse 24, then answered Simon and said, pray you to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. He's sincere. He's not, you know, he's young. He's not really got it all down pat. But you know, he's rebuked here. And the Bible says, rebuke a wise man, he'll thank you for it. And he doesn't reject this. He actually received this rebuke. And they, when they had testified, and does anybody know what testify means? What does it mean?
Tell the truth.
Well, what did he say, Misty?
He said, tell the truth.
Yeah, yeah. To tell, you know, hey, I won't... say, I love the Lord. I want to thank the Lord for saving me. You'll testify. You just want to say, I want to say something. He said, okay, what you guys say? I just want to thank the Lord, my family. I want to thank the Lord for blessing me, for forgiving me, for saving me. That's what testimony is. And when they had testified, and that's important, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. They had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem, and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So they had somewhat of a revival. Now, right in the middle of this revival, and this is actually what I wanted to teach on, it just took forever to get here. We got plenty of time. Right in the middle of this revival, here Philip is. I mean, he must be about 10 sheets in the Holy Ghost. I don't know. But it says, then the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, he's commissioned right here to go to the desert, leave this revival, and go to the desert. Lots of times we don't understand what God is doing. And lots of times we don't really understand maybe the will of God. But there was a man named Abraham, mentioned in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, just out of Wild Blue Yonder. God told Abraham, go. He didn't know where. I mean, God just said, get up out of here and go. And then he packed his bags and took off, not knowing really where he was going.
Right.
God told Peter to go, Acts 10:20. Actually, he was told to go to Cornelius. Paul and Barnabas were commissioned to go in Acts 13:2. Acts 16:9, Paul is commissioned again to go to Macedonia. But we never know until we go what God is going to do. And Philip, you know, old song says, trust and obey.
That's right.
There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You know, obedience is more important than sacrifice. We all want to give. You know, I want to give. Well, if you want to give something to God, give Him obedience.
Yeah.
If the Lord told you, I want you to just jump up and say, thank you, Lord. Well, that would be obedience if God told you to do that. Just make sure it's the Lord telling you to do that. And I've never had God to tell me to do anything that wasn't important. I was asleep one time at my house. Let me get over closer to the recorder. I'll tell as quick as I can. But I was asleep one time at my house and God woke me up. You know what He told me? He said, get up and pray for your home. I didn't really put a lot of thought to it. I thought, I'll do that in the morning. I went back to sleep. And God woke me up again. And He said, get up and pray for your home. And I still didn't think a lot about it. I went back to sleep. And God woke me up that third time, Missy. And He said, get up and pray for your home. And this time I thought, I better do this. And I got up. And I didn't really pray effectually like I normally do, fervently. I just went in there and I knelt down, Lord, watch over my home, my family, went back to bed. I really didn't put much emphasis on praying. The next day I went to work. I was helping my cousin start a business up. And this business was working for Lowe's, putting their products together. And I was at the Lowe's right there by Houchins before it became South Center Bank, that old Lowe's right there by the red light. And I was there working. And I'm putting tillers together. Long time ago, silver tillers. I'm putting them together, craftsman tillers. And I looked and I thought, well, it's fixing to rain. I thought, I better hurry up and get this done before I get rain on, put my tools up. So I got that last tiller together, put my tools up on my cart, and as I pushed it in the door there at Lowe's, as soon as I got in that door, there was, I mean, plywood flying through the air. There was cars, tires squalling, sirens, people screaming. Everything just went black. And I thought, oh my God, what the heck's going on? And I looked outside, I mean, shire styles flying through the air and stuff, and I thought, it's bad. So I thought, I'll call home. Phone dead. I thought, well, then I can do it, I'm going to drive home. I couldn't find a way home. There's trees across the road all over Glasgow. I thought, man, it's done bad here. Well, I lived at the time out on the Glasgow Edmonton Road, which is 68A. And I'm trying to get home. After I finally found a path, a goat path, to get on 6880, I got up past the Glasgow High School, and the tobacco barn's laying in the road. It's blowed all across the field. I thought, man, they've had a lot of storm here. Still hadn't dawned on me. And the closer I get to where I live 9 miles out of Glasgow, the worse it looked. When I got to the Windy Hill store, that old saying about the hills killing tornadoes, forget that. It picked up momentum. And I was probably within 2 miles of my house. And there was a house trailer upside down in the middle of the road, and they was putting a woman in the ambulance. It finally dawned on me, this thing's going straight to my house. And the reality of this tornado is now setting in, and I can't see to drive because I'm crying. I thought, Lord, let my house be all right. Let my family be all right. Please, Lord, let everything be all right. I got to my neighbor's house, and his front porch is laying in the front yard. At that time, we had 2 acres of ground, and it was completely square. And that tornado got to the line of our property, and it stopped. And it took a left, and it followed our property line all the way around till it got to the other side, and then it went on to Edmonton. And then I realized why God said, get up and pray for your home. Yeah. We just don't never know what God's doing. No. Philip may not have understood what God was doing, but he did it. God said, leave. He said, go down to Gaza, which is desert. That probably wouldn't make a lot of preachers happy. He's leading revival. This is a desert. Yeah. But if God tells you to do it, do it. So he arose, verse 27, and went. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine God telling you to do something and you arise and you go? Well, Philip did that. He arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia. You know what that means? Does anybody know? He's a black man. Did you know that? Did you know Moses married a black woman? It's in the book of Numbers. Did you know people back then had a problem with him marrying a black woman and they confronted him about it? Did you know that? Did you know God done something about it? He smote one of them with leprosy. You know how racism exists today? Because people stir it up.
That's right.
In this same book right here, Acts chapter 17, God said he made of one blood all nations of men and their bounds and their habitations. God made us all. I just want to get that clear. God made us all. Now, we're going to find something to fight over. I understand that. You fight over me because I got glasses, I'm going to fight because you ain't got them. You fight over me because I got on a pair of shiny shoes, I'm going to fight over because you got a pair of tennis shoes. I mean, we just fight. Missy's worked out there long enough to know what I'm talking about, I know. You have to duck, don't you? And dodge, and run, and hide, and try not to answer the phone and everything else, trying to stay out of trouble out there when we work it, don't we? It's always there. It's always looking for someone. Now, we just had two women out there at work that had to come separate them, and I'm not going to elaborate on it. But that's just the way it is. But anyway, this man's a black man. Philip's a white man. This man's a Gentile. Philip's a Hebrew.
Right.
There's just a lot of opposites here. I mean, they don't jihad. But Philip is doing what God told him to do. And God said, arise and go. And when he arose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, I mean, he's someone, of Candace, queen, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. She's the queen of these people, the Ethiopians. Ethiopians are, they're black people, for lack of better words. And like I said, God's colorblind. We might make issues, but God doesn't. So millions have come, there's still room for one, there's room at the cross for you and for anybody else. But he comes, and here this man is, and I'm not making an issue about race here, but I just want you to understand, he's doing what God tells him to do. He goes to the desert, and by going to the desert, he sees this man of Ethiopia, a eunuch under great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasure, who had come to Jerusalem for the worship. Now, he had come to Jerusalem. Who's at Jerusalem? Anybody remember? The apostles, remember? And all the rest of them, they're scattered abroad, but the apostles stayed at Jerusalem. So, he just left the apostles. Now, here's this deacon, Philip. He's like me. He's just, I mean, on fire. I mean, he's been in revival. Who was returning and sitting in his chariot. Now that's like a limousine. I mean, if you had a chariot, you was wealthy. I mean, buddy, you wasn't walking, you was somebody. He's in his chariot and he's reading this certain book. He's reading, actually the book of Elijah. I mean, he's reading Isaiah. And it says, I guess that's what it's kind of saying, the prophet. He's actually reading Isaiah chapter 53, and he's reading that chapter.
Right.
That's what he's reading. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Again, he does exactly what he's told. We're supposed to be doers, not hearers only. Most of us are hearers, and very few of us are doers. And Philip does what? Somebody tell me what he did. You got a Bible, you got a song book. What's he do there? You with me? Tell me what it does there, verse 30. What's Philip do?
He ran.
Yeah. Verse 30. What did Philip do? And Philip what? He ran. Acts 8, verse 30. And Philip ran. Boy, wouldn't that be something? If we ran to do something for God.
Yeah.
If we ran to tell someone something about the Lord. Acts 8, verse 30. And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah's. And here's what Philip says to this Ethiopian eunuch. I mean, he's in his chariot. He's reading this prophet Isaiah. And Philip says a question. And his question is, understandest what thou readest? Mm-hmm. Now look at the answer this Ethiopian gives him. And he answered, and his answer is, and he said, how can I except some man should guide me? Everybody always tells me that nobody needs no help. Well, this man needed some help.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 10 says, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach glad tidings. Well, the preacher's here. His name's Philip. Here's a man. He wants to hear. He can't hear without some help. So here's the help. God has sent this this deacon, this preacher, Philip. He's just left the revival. I can only imagine how on fire he is. And he's running. And this Ethiopian, this Ethiopian eunuch, he says, how can I understand what I'm reading except some man should guide me? Look here. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. He said, would you mind helping me? I can't understand what I'm reading.
Right.
I almost want you to know, I know enough Bible to know this much. He needs some help. God made man. He made him of the dust of the ground. And he breathed in his nostrils. Only how we ever figured out how to do artificial assimilation, whatever it is, whether you breathe in your nostrils, you know, and bring you back to life. How did we ever figure that out? You ever wondered about that? How did we ever figure out you could breathe in somebody's nose and bring them back to life? You could breathe air into their lungs, and they would, if they drowned, they'd cough out the water, and if they passed out, they'd start breathing again. How did we ever figure that out? Well, God was the first one to do it.
Yeah.
And He breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of Adam, and he became a living soul. That's how the first man came to be. And not only did he make man, but you know what he said after he made him? Are you listening? He said he needs help.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to make a help met for him, which is Misty. He said, I'm going to make a help for him. And he said, I'm going to try to help him too, but he said he needs help. Are you getting this? We need God's help. We're never going to find without God's help. God sent this Ethiopian eunuch help. Right kind of help. He's not trying to get him all confused. He's not trying to get over his head. He's trying to help him.
Right.
So Philip says, He says, come on up here and sit with me. So Philip, he got up there and he said, the place of the scripture, notice, he's got the scripture, which he read was this. And this is out of Isaiah 53. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so open not his mouth. Now, that scripture is actually Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7 and 8. He's reading, but he can't understand it. The Bible tells us the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them. See, I was a natural man for 34 years. The light hadn't came on yet. I was in darkness. Nobody had turned the light on. But the next verse says, but he that's spiritual, I became spiritual April 27th, 1988. The light came on. But he that's spiritual knoweth all things because God has revealed them unto him. Well, God's fixing to reveal something to this Ethiopian eunuch. And he's going to use this preacher, this deacon named Philip, to do it with. It's really simple. That we need help. We might not want to ask for it, but we still need it. And God sent this man. He'd been reading the Bible, and he needs help. And God says, hey, you leave that revival and you go down to the desert. I've got a task for you down there. And Philip, you know, he's a doer. He's not a hearer. So he's here for the task God has sent him to do. And he realizes the place this Ethiopian eunuch is reading here. He said, going on, I stopped there, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the Ethiopian eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Now he asked a legitimate question. Now the Bible tells me to be ready to give a man an answer that asks me a question of the reason of hope is within me. And Philip's ready to answer this question. He asked a good question. He said, who's this talking about? Verse 35 says, then Philip opened his mouth. He began at the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. You see, that's the only message there is. I'm not trying to further the Baptist agenda. I'll just tell you this, they preach the truth. I've been in some churches where they didn't. I've been in some churches, I'm sad to say this, where I had to open up my Bible to feel the presence of God. It's like being in a funeral home. I was in one church, and I was the only one in the church that had a Bible, including the preacher. I'm sitting there thinking, what kind of church is this? They all looked at me when I come in my Bible like I had an AK-47 or something. I mean, I was up there, and my dad asked me to go to this church with him, and I was up there at his invitation to go to this church. He didn't know no better, but I have to admit, I come in, like always, packing my Bible. Everybody said, he's got a Bible. He's got a Bible. I thought, yeah, where's yours at?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, there's a lot of stuff goes on. But this man asked a question, and Philip's ready to answer it. And he preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? If you got the right Bible, this next verse is in your Bible. And if you got the wrong Bible, it goes from verse 16 to verse 18.
Yeah.
If you got the right Bible, this verse is in there. Have you got verse 17 in your Bible? Is it in there? Number 17 in there?
Yeah.
All right, you got the right Bible. Whoops. I need to put my glass on, I guess. If you got the right Bible, I'm sorry, verse 37. Verse 37 is in there if you got the right Bible. And Philip said, the reason this is not in other Bibles is because it don't line up with some people's agenda. It don't curtail to their doctrine.
Right.
And I just want you to know, doctrine's important.
Very important.
And Philip answered, and he said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou may. This man wants to get baptized. And that meets a lot of people's doctrine. And I don't really want to go too deep in this. But he said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Yeah.
And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And I want you to look at this Ethiopian eunuch. And he went on his way rejoicing. I mean, we sing, I'm rejoicing in my Savior every moment of the day since He gave me this heart of love. On and on we go together in the hallelujah way since He gave me this heart of love. Well, that's what this Ethiopian eunuch's doing. I mean, he's like me, he can't sing a lick. But boy, he's got a song in his heart. He went on his way rejoicing. I'm just seeing now he's trying to sing. He hadn't been trying to sing before, but now, boy, there's something in here. He's happy about it. He's rejoicing. I would like to have been there. Yeah. I would like to have soaked up just a little bit of that moment myself. And just get a little bit of that rub. You know, you ever see a dog try to rub the sin of another dog on it? I mean, just get a little bit of that on me. But he's rejoicing, Brother Ed. And this is such a blessing. Philip ain't around no more, but it's Ethiopian eunuch. He's continuing his journey, and now he's rejoicing. And Philip was found. I may not be able to say this word, so bear with me. Azotus, and passing through, he preached. He's a preacher now in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, I think Philip here has showed us that it can be done. Philip has showed us here what we can do when we let God have His way. Now, you know, we all want to do, or I do, I want to do great exploits for the Lord.
Yeah.
But there's a time and there's a way to do the things of God. You got to let God lead. And when God's leading, you got to learn to follow. And when God's leading and you're following, you'll be able to see a lot of things. Mm-hmm. You'll see a lot of people that'll be like this Ethiopian eunuch. I mean, they've heard everything. But they haven't heard what they need to hear. See, the message is simple. Do you believe in aliens? You believe in UFOs? What about you?
No, they're there.
You know what? One step down from heaven, He came down to earth. He said, I'm from above. He said, you're from beneath. He said, I'm from heaven. You're from earth. He was alien here. But He had to come down here so we could go up there.
That's right.
So He stepped down. Have you ever tried to reach something and you just couldn't reach it and you needed something to stand on to reach it? Well, that's what He did. He made it where we could reach heaven. He came down to give us the means to reach heaven. On the cross, beaten beyond recognition, spit upon, unrecognizable. You know what Jesus said? You know what He said? He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You know what God said? He said, for your sake, I will.
That's right.
And an old drunk like Eddie Wade could be forgiven, even though I didn't deserve it. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. That's how I was able to be forgiven. I didn't deserve it, but I sure did want to be forgiven. And thanks to Jesus, like this Ethiopian eunuch, I'm on my way now rejoicing. Mm-hmm. But it took a preacher not only to help me. You remember, what did that Ethiopian eunuch say to Philip? When Philip come up and said, understand what thou readest. Anybody remember what he said? What did that Ethiopian eunuch say? He said, I need some help, didn't he? And Philip, he began right there where he's reading, and he took that same two verses there, Isaiah 53, verse 7 and 8. He took those two verses and he preached Jesus to this Ethiopian eunuch. And when he preached him Jesus, they came to a body of water. And what did that Ethiopian eunuch say? Does anybody remember? Does anybody remember what that Ethiopian eunuch said when they come to that body of water? What did he want to do? Does anybody remember that?
He wanted to be baptized.
Yeah. He said, hey, here's some water. He said, what keeps men getting baptized? You remember that? Well, that's kind of the way it is, see. Get a lot of opportunities in life. He got the opportunity to hear a preacher. Hey, Kevin. He got the opportunity to hear not only the truth, but he got the opportunity to be baptized. Man, then he not only got to hear the truth and get baptized, you know what he did? He went on his way doing what? Does anybody remember? Was y'all listening?
Rejoicing.
Yeah, thank you, buddy. He went on his way rejoicing. We can have the same thing if we just do what he did. All right, we'll stop right there. And like I said, good to have Misty with us this morning. And let's see, where was I? There we go. All right. All right. Hallelujah. We'll stop this thing here somehow.